Why are you alive? What is your purpose? Are you just a piece of matter that has weight and occupies space, or are you here for a reason? You know, there's a lot of people in America who've just taken up space. There's a lot of Christians in the church who just take up space. Because they have purpose in their heart that their life is about themselves. Their goals and their visions are about themselves. And if it doesn't fit into my schedule, and if God doesn't want me to be what I want to be, then I'm just going to go my own way. We're going to end up this morning talking about purpose, God's design for your life. But before we get there, let's just start at the beginning. None of you sitting here, if you were born before Christ, or if you were born after Christ, before the gospel went to the Gentiles, you had no hope. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Every one of us lived, walked, and acted like sinners. Some of you got into addictions. Some of you got into bondages. Some of you, your lives are absolutely radically messed up. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 talks about what our lives were like before we came to Christ. Now, if you're sitting here and you're not serving God, you're still on the losing team. You may look and say, well, my parents are Christians, or this one's Christians, or that one's Christian. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you haven't had faith imparted into your life to receive Christ, you're a loser. It's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. And your only hope, if you're still living in stage one of your life, is to come to Christ. It's the only answer. Ephesians 2 says, and you he made alive who was dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You know, it's hard right now in churches to preach a message like I'm going to preach, because all of a sudden churches have become about people instead of God. Churches have been more important that we want to make the people feel good when they come in instead of deal with the reasons why they don't feel good. We want to bless everybody, and how can the church bless someone that God won't? And you say, what are you talking about? If you're not living for Christ, you're not in God's blessings. God will try to reveal His Son to you. The Holy Spirit will try to talk to you. The Lord will try to get your attention. But you're living your life on your own, and the only blessings you're going to get is what you call lucky. How many realize people's luck runs out every once in a while? But something happened. God came on the scene for mankind. This is not from Steps to Peace with God, although I could write this and make a Steps to Peace with God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that what? That's only part of it. What's the rest of it? What part did you miss? Whoever believes in Him should not... Okay. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in His mercy, while we were yet sinners. God who is rich in His mercy, while we were yet sinners. Another place the Bible says Christ died for us. So in realizing that we were sinners, realizing that man had no hope, realizing that we were foreigners and aliens from the commonwealth of promise and from God, God decided, chose to do something. And what he did, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die. You see, and we're going to show you that in the Bible in just a few moments, Jesus coming to earth had a purpose. And we've been studying on Thursday nights that Peter, who once said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," when Jesus mentioned he was going to the cross, what did he say? "Don't do it." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was talking to the Spirit. And so God sent his son. What did Jesus do? Anybody have a clue? What did they do to Jesus? They crucified him. And it was all over, wasn't it? He was dead in the grave. There with the end of Christianity before it begun. Or what happened?
He rose again.
It was the beginning. So this is like Easter Sunday. And so he rose and conquered death, hell, and the grave. Keep in mind, we're going to talk about purpose. Now what had to happen for us to come into relationship with God? Believe. The devils believe, but they don't have a relationship. What had to happen? What did we have to do? Repent. Confess. What else? Receive as many as received him. To them gave he the divine ability to become the children of God. You say, boy, this is elementary. Maybe. Does God ever give us anything that's elementary? The Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. You probably know it. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship." Are you? Cool. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, been declared righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, even through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We were sinners. We had no hope. Christ came to give us hope. We received him and then became the children of God. There's a problem here. The problem is that the church has the idea, just receiving Christ, everything else can just come to an end then, and we can just stay right here. This is where we're taking this church. This is where we're taking you. There's more. If you're a convert to this church, become a disciple of Jesus. If you're following some other church, become a disciple of Jesus. The church cannot make you a disciple. The church can help you get there. It's surrendering to the Holy Spirit, absolutely, radically giving your life to God. Follow and adhere to his teachings, and things begin to happen. The Bible says, "Unless you deny, come to me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You have no part in me." I I can hear you shouting amen in your spirit, but saying, oh me, in your heart. There's something lacking in the church of Jesus Christ when the world has more influence on the church than the church has influence on the world. There's something happening in Christians' lives when they're constantly thinking about going back to what they came out of instead of going on to where God wants to take us. There's something drastically in our lives when we bow our knee and ask Christ to become our Savior, but then there's a constant struggle in our spirit of making Him Lord. You can say it. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, you can get involved. There's a constant problem in my walk with God. When I still have to make decisions about things I know that are sinful compared to things which are righteous. There's some issues I'm dealing with. There's some things I'm going through. There's some issues in people's lives when they think they got it together. I'm okay with God. I'm doing what I need to be doing. I'm right where I need to be. Instead of saying, God, search me. And so we come to a place about purpose. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 11 says this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 11. The Bible says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now here's the debate. And here's where we make a mistake. Whenever we hear the word predestination, and I heard a message a few weeks ago that really just opened my eyes. When we hear the word predestination, we always think who? Who's predestined? Instead of thinking, what are we predestined to? And so the debate goes, well, you can't be a Christian, I'm chosen. I'm elected, I'm predestined, I got it all together. The Bible says, by God's foreknowledge, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ in Romans 8:29. It's not talking about who's being predestined. It's talking about what are we being predestined to. And that's a whole different ballgame. And so take the eraser and erase election means God's choosing certain ones at the exclusion of others. God doesn't do that. Whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. And so when you start thinking of predestination, start thinking of purpose. Now the word purpose is simply this. The word purpose means that God has designed a will and a plan for your life. The master designer, the master creator, the one who formed you and shaped you and raised you and knows you intimately, has a purpose, has a design, has a plan, has a will for your life. And the sad part of that is many people don't do anything because they're waiting for God to tell them His will. And so we sit on our pews, sit in our own stink, and we just wait. I'm going to sit here right here till God shows me. That's not the issue. God's very seldom going to show you anything while you're sitting on your spiritual behind doing nothing. God leads us as we are walking and living and ministering in His Spirit. As we are being formed into maturity and we are shaped into disciples and we begin to walk that out, God's plan and God's purpose unfolds. And we begin to see, hey, One step at a time. Hey, back in 1966, and some of you weren't even born that year, when I went to North Central Bible College, I didn't have a clue that I was going to end up in Sissy Town. I never knew that I'd be looking at your, they're smiling a little bit now, but lately they haven't been, smiling faces. God never spoke into my heart and said, here's your purpose. You're going to go to Sisseton just for Martha's sake. And once you get Martha right with me, then you can leave. He didn't say that. God never said, you're going to go to Virginia, Minnesota, and there you're going to build a new church. He never said that. God never even told me I was going to marry Judy until she asked me. You know, we just kind of get things in order and we kind of get things together and we think everything's coming together. God is waiting for you to take that step of faith. When you start stepping out, when you start witnessing, when you start sharing, when you start doing the things that God would have you to do, when you become a part of that body of Jesus Christ, you're just not someone sitting on the outside watching the body work. You come into a place where you begin to be moved by the Spirit, not because you're looking for someone to pat you on the back or give you a reward, but because you want to bless God. We're disciples and we walk in His purpose because of what He's already done for us, not for what He's going to do. He took my sins. He changed my life. He took the addictions. He broke the bondage. And now He comes and said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk it out, but you say I may go alone. So did Jesus. You may say, well, I was lonely. Jesus said, I don't even have any place to lay my head. The Son of Man has no place to lay His head. We walk it out, but it may be uncomfortable and people may reject me. Jesus came unto His own received Him not. A disciple is one who's looked at Jesus Christ. You've taken inventory. You've counted the cost. You get to the place of the bottom line. Which way do I want to go? Because there's only two choices. If you think you're three or four, you're deceived. There's two choices you have to make in your purpose for your life. It's either to serve God or serve the devil. There's no halfway point. You only got two choices. If you want to flip a coin, go ahead, but you may lose. And so God says, I want you to sit down. I want you to take my word. I want you to analyze it and then count the cost. Because what man going to war doesn't first check out his enemy, see if he can beat him? And what person building a house doesn't first check out the cost? Did you ever do that? Did you ever scratch your head? So which one of us going to do these things in the normal pattern of life? Which one of us walking through a normal pattern of life? I sat with a doctor the other day, a while back, and his daughter transferred to another college without checking the cost. He was paying her way. She just said, I'm transferring. Okay. $20,000 difference for what she needed compared to where she was. And it might have been a little more than that. And what did she expect? Daddy to write the check. Must have been Jeff. Write the check, Dad. I got this new college. I got this vehicle I'm buying. Just pay for it. Well, there's some things you want to do with God. And you say, oh, no, no. Jesus said, if you're going to war, you're going to check your enemy out. If you're building a house, you're going to check what? How much is it going to cost? Because you don't want to be ashamed if you go get beat up by the enemy, and you don't want to be ashamed if you got the house half built and you can't finish it. Right? Count the cost. God has your life designed whether you're going to serve Him or not. God has a purpose for your life whether you're going to serve Him or not. God has everything mapped out for you to step into where He wants you to be, what He wants you to do. Your choice is taking a look at the alternative. You say, oh, what are you telling me to do? Look at the devil? Yeah, take a look at what he has to offer. Because there's no choice. This is a stupid part of it. We fight over the choices inwardly between serving God and serving Satan. We fight over the things that Satan has to offer. Yes, there is pleasure in the world for a season. How many understand that? I used to have a good time when I was drunk. I never knew about it. Neither did you. But I never had a good time as I've had now. And so you sit down and analyze. Well, let's just go to the bottom line. I'm not going to take you through your whole life. Let's just go to the bottom line. God's purpose, Satan's purpose. God's purpose is to bless you, help you, strengthen you, encourage you, edify you, and eventually take you home. Satan's job is to steal from you, to kill you and destroy you, and have you in hell. Isn't that a wonderful choice? I mean, duh, which one am I going to take? Behind this door, behind that door, behind this door is hell, sickness, pain, torment, demonic for the rest of your life. Behind this door is a life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and no sickness and no pain and no more tears and no more sorrow, no more doctors, no more morticians. Which one do you want? Well, let me think about it. You don't get no lifeline. You'll get a rope around your neck. That'll be the only lifeline you get. But we come to a place and people look at this and go, duh. Christians go back into the world. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Here's the deal. Start walking it out. Start walking it out through Christ. You're a new creation. You're His workmanship, we read. That means that He designed your life. Do you know something? There's not a single single soul in hell that believes in evolution. Do you know something? There's not a single atheist in hell. You say, what are you talking about? They know there's a God. They know there's a creator. They know that they were wrong. They do believe now, but it's too late. They believe. Why do you think the rich man wanted someone to even go back and tell his family? He remembered his life. He remembered what he didn't believe. He remembered what he didn't do. And he wanted someone to go back and reinforce the idea that he was wrong. Do you know something? It's too late. So God has designed for you and me, whether I step into it, or whether I walk it out, or whether I ignore it and do my own thing because I want to be in charge, or here's what I want to do, here's how I want to live, God still has a plan designed. It's according, listen to this, He purposed according to the counsel of His will. I close with this. Almost. Are you going to trust your eternal destiny and your life and the life of your children and your grandchildren in the concept and the idea, well, maybe God just really doesn't exist? And maybe God, if He does exist, will just look at me and say it was okay. I'm not a God who sends you to hell. Just come on in. And you're right about one thing. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose. Absolutely, radically choose where we're going to spend eternity. Or are you going to trust a God who did everything in his power to get our attention, to walk with him, who has planned out your life, who has designed it, who can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, and who really wants to bless you and your family? And are you going to walk that out saying, God, I want to be your disciple. I want to be a follower and learner of Jesus Christ. Maybe for the last 15 years, I've been just sitting in the pew. Maybe for the last several months, I haven't done anything for the kingdom. And it's not about doing something right away. It's about being something. And I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to lay aside my selfishness, my self-ambitions, my goals, and I'm going to take up your cross, your calling, your purpose. I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to follow you. Because that's what the Bible says we must do. You see, praying a sinner's prayer and accepting Christ is just the beginning. Too many people make it the end. The excitement about being a Christian is being a disciple and hearing the voice of the Spirit lead us down the path where we're touching other people's life. Jeff and I were in Taco John's on Wednesday night after church. I believe we were, weren't we?
Yep.
A man came out and said, you know, I was like you, Pastor. I went and had my heart scanned and I got this problem and I got that problem and then I got some growth on my tongue and I got some things going on, and Jeff and I started to leave. And all of a sudden, it was just like the Holy Spirit said, why are you leaving? Go pray for him. So Jeff and I walked to the back of Taco John's and there took a man's hands and began to pray God's healing and God's touch and God's blessing upon him. He looked as we left and he said, thank you. Thank you. Wasn't making a scene. Wasn't saying you got to come to COC.
He just glowed.
He just, literally he did. Because God touched him. That's the life that God has for us. As we start walking it out, as his purpose becomes our purpose, as we surrender to his plan and his will, and how exciting that is. And this is where we miss it, and this is where I've missed it. I've missed it because we were so concerned about getting people saved that they never did become a disciple. They became a convert of pastors. They might have been a tender of COC, but they never walked it out, and their life is frustrated. And they don't see where's the answers and where's the things and what's going on. And, oh yeah, I prayed a sinner's prayer. And sometimes, boy, this sounds crazy. Sometimes the devil wants people to pray sinner's prayer so they forget about the God who wants to save the sinner. I want to tell you something. It's all about your focus right now. No matter you're making plans for the future, no matter you're making decisions about what you're going to do and what you're going to be and where you're going to go, don't make all your plans and say, God, bless them. Come to a place and say, God, what are you blessing? And I want to be in the middle of it. What are you doing, God? And I want to walk in the center. God, how can my life be more productive for you? Here's the last thing I'm going to say, almost. God wants you to reproduce. He's not necessarily interested in only reproduction. He's interested in multiplication. That means you're reproducing your life in someone else. And you're multiplying because they are disciples. And it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Most, and you can read anybody that's talking about church growth, most of the church growth in America, probably 95% of it, 90% of it, is about transferring churches. It's not about people coming to Jesus Christ and being disciples and moving on and multiplying their life in someone else. We have a challenge. You have a choice. That is, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? And is it my will, God, or is it yours? And that's what God's waiting for us to answer. God, is it about me? What I want to do? What I want to be? Where I want to go? How I want to live? Or is it about you?